Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The World Cup Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WinBet. WinBet is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WinBet has what you need to win. Sign up today, bet $100, get a $100 free bet at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. Welcome, everybody, to the World Cup Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. My name is Malcolm Bamford, coming to you from Newcastle upon Tyne, stuck up in the northeast corner of England. Today is Wednesday, the 7th of December. We are here to handicap quarterfinals 1 and 2 for Friday, the 9th of December. And joining us is Mr. Barry Penaluna. Barry, how are you doing?
Good evening. All good, thanks.
Good. Are we going to announce the fact that you're confused as hell because we've just finished recording? Well, this is going to now be a running theme between this show and the next show that the people haven't listened to yet, is that we've already recorded the show for tomorrow, Saturday, before we've recorded this show for Friday, Baz, and it's unnerved you somewhat, hasn't it? How are you feeling about it? Halfway through the project, how are you feeling about it?
I'm a little bit unsettled. I think the first one went all right, but I'm just a bit confused about how we're gonna.
This is what know. You were. Yeah,
it doesn't sit right with me. I don't know why we didn't just keep them in order, but anyway, it is what it is. Let's just roll with it.
You're right. There was no reason. I think it's because we were live streaming, so we didn't live stream the last one. We recorded that one.
Yeah, we wanted to live stream this one at a similar time, didn't we? To where we'd normally be on an evening.
So what we've done by doing that is confused fewer people, but basically we've confused you.
Just that,
and that's it.
That's fine.
Rather than if people had tuned in now to get the handicaps for Friday and we were doing Saturday, that's knocked everyone out of kilter.
No, I get it. Let's crack on before I get confused again.
We'll crack on before he gets confused. What we have got to do, though, Baz, anyway, this is good, is introduce some various lifestyle segments that are different to the lifestyle segments that we talked about an hour ago.
Well, first of all,
yes.
I mean, how have you coped today? This is our first day without any World Cup football. How has that been for you? Have you had to talk to the family or?
No, not at all. Well, funnily enough, you might. I was going to address the situation because I think some people might be confused, or not confused, but concerned by my apparent sedentary lifestyle, because if you watched, and some people did, believe it or not, the MLB gambling podcast we sent out at 3 o'clock this afternoon, I was sitting in my pyjamas in the kitchen. It is now 10:30 at night. I'm still sitting in pyjamas, although I put my dressing gown on, Baz.
You're sitting in your dressing gown. Were you sat
like
that?
Hugh Hefner? Yeah, yeah.
I just put that on. I didn't notice it.
No, we did it. I've sat the entire time you've talked to me for the last hour and a quarter. I've had it on, Baz.
Unbelievable. So you've been in that all day?
Well, no, and this is my point. I haven't been in this all day. I just wanted to point out to the people who might be concerned that I'm becoming a lazy slob. I've been out of football training, so in the meantime, I went out, put some clothes on, went out to football train, drank a Bovril, as previously discussed in the future, And then when I came in, had a shower to warm myself up, and I put my dressing gown back on, having creamed myself and my finger again, like we discussed last night. So, yeah, don't worry about that. I managed to fill my day up by... I had a double duty today because I had to prep both of these shows, and I had to do the MLB show because I am working tomorrow night and Friday night. So I filled my time up today. I haven't missed the football bars that much, as well as having an hour out earlier on as well. So it's been, yeah, this first day of the World Cup without any football is always an odd one, isn't it? We use on the show sometimes. I feel like a bird in an eclipse. You know, when the birds just don't know what's going on in the middle of an eclipse because everything, the sun's just disappeared, they get all confused. I liken that a lot to the first World Cup day. But I've coped all right because I've had stuff to do. But have you been okay? Have you thrown yourself into keeping the cogs of industry turning, Baz?
I mean, I didn't realise the birds got confused during an eclipse.
At first, can you imagine if you were a sparrow and you sit there in the tree at 2 o'clock? And every day is the same, isn't it? And then all of a sudden, it's just gone black.
Well, that's the same for us, isn't it?
Well, no, because we're not fucking sparrows, are we? We understand it's been on the news. The sparrows haven't been watching the 1 o'clock news saying there's an eclipse coming.
They're all have been talking about it. Like, oh, remember that last time when that eclipse come along? It's probably joking.
Yeah, you reckon?
Anyway, when you first mentioned it and you said birds get confused, I had an image of, like, confused.
Or women.
On the horse, like women. what's going
sexist.
On here? Sorry about that.
You get cancelled, Baz, talk like that.
I have had to talk to the family a little bit tonight. So, to be honest, I haven't missed the football. It's been nice to just sort of finish off my work and then be able to sort of, well, you know, just be present in the room for a bit. Although... all that's happened really is the little one has come and de-had the telly and put her crap on and we've just sat through about 3 hours of that instead.
What passes for small girls' crap in your house?
She's obsessed with a TV series called Superstore, which is actually quite funny, but she'll go through 5 series of it and it'll probably take about, on average, 10 to 12 days to complete 5 series of it, and then she just goes straight back to episode 1 and we'll just watch it all again. So the episode I watched today, I will have watched 6 or 7 times now.
What do they do in that program?
They work in a superstore, the supermarket. No, it's a comedy, daft American comedy. It's all right for easy watching, sort of out the corner of your eye. It's all right. Yeah. I find myself chuckling at bits of it now and then. But she gets this thing in her head. Once she gets a series in her head, she'll just watch it from start to finish and then literally straight back to episode 1 and just go again. It used to be Friday night dinner, which is an absolute classic. We absolutely love it in this house anyway. So Friday night dinner was a really good series. And I watched that over and over and over again. But this is Sophie's thing. Like, she's obsessed with the TV. It drives her mad when the football's on and she's got to give it up for a bit. And to be honest, I say she's obsessed with the TV. She'll put the TV on and then she'll pick up, she's very keen on her art, so she'll pick up a notepad and just start sketching or painting or drawing. And I say, can I put the TV on? She's saying, no, I'm watching it. I'm like, you haven't took your eyes up from that paper. I'm still watching it. So she does keep, she's not just fixated on the telly, to be fair. She does get her head down into other stuff at the same time, but she likes to have her stuff in the background instead of mine. Give the kids a chance today, didn't we? But no football today was fine, but I'm looking forward. Tomorrow we've got the tune, Newcastle against Al Hilal in Saudi Arabia. That's being live streamed on the internet, Malcolm. We'll be all over that tomorrow night.
I'll not be watching that, Baz. Not even a little bit. I do think we need to put comedy chat on our list of things, though, as well as food chat, because I'm sure there's a lot of listeners on both sides of the pond. My dodgy Fire Stick. I say my dodgy Fire Stick, which I've hooked up to your account. So I'm getting the best of both worlds here. There's loads of good stuff on there. So I smashed Phoenix Knights last week, both series of that, because you can't find it anywhere. It's nowhere to be seen. It's not on a proper platform. It's not on Netflix or Amazon or anywhere. I then obviously went directly into the spin-off, Max and Paddy's Road to Nowhere. And then last night, late doors, I was looking for something. I've quite enjoyed the sex lives of college girls, which isn't as smutty as you would think. Oh, it's a little bit smutty, but it's just funny. I've quite enjoyed that. But I watched a lot of This Country as well last night. So there is about about 2,500 comedy box sets on there. So, yeah, a bit of a comedy chat, Baz. We can...
Those are two new ones to me, so I'll have...
Which ones?
The last two you mentioned.
This Country. All right, the Sex Lives of College Girls is a kind of a cheesy American sitcom. It's a little bit of shagging in it, but it's all right. This Country is a really classic niche. I don't think, no offence to any of our Americans, if they sat and watched that, they'd be absolutely baffled. It's a fly-on-the-wall type, a bit like The Office, that kind of style. And it is set in a Cotswolds village. It's supposed to be about how young people cope with living in these rural areas when there's nothing to do. And it's just a couple of dafties, supposed to be two cousins. And Daisy Lee, what's her name? She's on everything at the minute. Captain on Buzzcocks. New Buzzcocks? You watch
I'm hopeless with names. Can't name a single actor. I'm hopeless with that.
Daisy Lee Chambers Matthews. Who knows? She's really good, and she's quite in the zeitgeist at the moment, Baz. But you'd love that. It's very British. It's very sedate.
Daisy Lee Cooper.
That's it. There you go. That's what I said. But there's not a wasted word in that, Baz. You're getting get that on your Fire Stick later on. You will thank me for it. I think there's two, maybe three series. So, there you go. Yeah, comedy chat. We'll add that on.
Before you move on, Mal, just got a quick one from Stephen B on Twitter, who's pointing out you wearing. He's referring to it as a smoking jacket.
Well, it was Stephen B, who was interested in the goulash the other day. Well, I think you would call it a robe, Stephen. We call it a dressing gown because we have the mastery of the language in this country. But it's a little bit Hugh Hefner, and it's quite luxurious. Like if I move around, I see the light bouncing off it. It's all right, isn't it?
It's not bad. It's not bad.
Yeah.
Sexy interaction there for the first time in the series, though, Malcolm. It's good to see.
I'm a very sexy man. One thing I was just going to ask you, Baz, before we move on to the football. In your life, do you think you've eaten over or under 380 bananas?
Oh, that is the easiest question you could ever ask.
Are you not a banana eater?
Don't eat bananas.
I can't.
I haven't ate a banana. Not one.
Are you allergic to them?
Nah. Just don't like them.
How do I know?
But I know what a banana tastes like. I've probably had...
Fucking hell.
You know, if you've had a trifle and there's a bit of banana in the bottom.
All right, okay.
So I've probably had a bite of a banana in that context.
Do Americans know what trifles are?
If you gave me, it's just like jelly, custard, cream, all mixed up, fruit and that in it. But anyway, if you gave me, a banana milkshake, sweets, banana ice cream, anything like that, I'm not having it. Two things that don't work for me... Is bananas and coffee.
Weird.
Never ever had a cup of coffee, never had a banana. What do you think about that?
Well, do you know, I had a feeling you would have a weird thing about bananas. So I did write down a reserve question, which was over or under, and I upped the number, 425 apples.
Do I look like a man that eats loads of apples?
Not loads. Baz, how old are you? 42.
So
10 a year is not loads, Baz. It's not loads of apples.
It's not. You're not like I haven't ate 10 apples in the last year. I mean, does cider count?
No, well, no, Baz, it doesn't.
I'm pushing the boundaries a little. I reckon I'm under 4,000 apples.
400 apples.
400?
425.
All right, how many was the banana question?
380.
All right, I thought you said 1,000. Either way, you are miles off on the bananas. 400, I used to eat apples when I was younger, and I will occasionally eat apple now.
10 a year is not many, Baz.
Our kids don't eat apples either. They don't like apples, so we very rarely have them in the house. I'm going under on the apples.
All right, okay.
What about you? You'd be massively over.
Obviously, what's happened is because I brought all those bananas and apples back from the weekend away. So I've eaten out but bananas and apples since Sunday. That's why I was asking. I'm sick of the sight of them. I'm turning into a banana. So that's why. Right, Baz, 14 minutes in, we should probably talk about some football, do you think?
Good idea.
World Cup quarterfinals number one and two are on Friday. The first game is a 3 p.m. kickoff UK time, 10 a.m. Eastern time game between Croatia and Brazil. Croatia are 8-1 underdogs in 90 minutes. The draw is plus 375, 11-4. That's more than 11-4, isn't it? Yeah, it's 15-4. And the Brazil are 9-25, which is a price of minus 277 to qualify from the tie. Croatia 4-1 and Brazil are 1-6, approximately minus 625. Croatia have drawn 0-0 with Tunisia, beaten Canada 4-1, drew 0-0 with Belgium, and drew 1-1 with Japan before advancing on penalties. Brazil beat Serbia 2-0, beat Switzerland 1-0, lost 1-0 to Cameroon in the dead rubber at the end of the group, and then humped South Korea 4-1 in the round of 16. I would start with Croatia. Croatia, to me, have been underwhelming on two fronts, which is both in the stats and at the eye test, the impression that they've given you. I don't really pick up an awful lot from watching them. They've gone under 2.5 in three out of the four games, or both teams to score is cashed in two of the four games. They look okay in flashes. The big lad at the back, Guardiol, the lad who's been wearing the face mask, he plays four. Now, I know this. He plays for, is it Dortmund? He plays in Germany. Might play for Dortmund, Cologne, somewhere. I think it's Dortmund, you know. Anyway, big lad at the back, plays in the Bundesliga. Really good player. He's going to be an absolute star. Got a really nice left peg. Modric hasn't done an awful lot. Maybe his legs are catching up with him. Perisic does stuff in flashes. Got the goal against Japan. Kramaric up top doesn't look like a prolific goal scorer. I mean, he never really has been. And I think they've only been the better team once, which was that Canada game where they fell 1-0 behind and then really did expose Canada's naivety. Canada got exposed by everybody that played, so there was nothing really special about that. Brazil, in terms of patterns, under 2.5 in three of their four games, and both teams to score in just one of the four. Put a line through the Cameroon game. They were great against South Korea. South Korea didn't make it really easy for them. They matched up in a way that Brazil were always just going to smash them, a little bit like Costa Rica did against Spain, when a team just sets up to your strengths. So that matched up really well for them. I would say Croatia at this spot are a good comparison for Serbia and Switzerland, who Brazil have played. Brazil beat them 2-0. Beat Serbia 2-0, beat Switzerland 1-0. Just in that side, just second-level European team, not top class, just kind of an average European team, Croatia. So if you want to comp, I would say Serbia and Switzerland are your comps for that. My starting point here was Brazil 2, Croatia 0, price of 6-1. So that brings in both teams to score no at 7-10, a little bit short, minus 142. The under 2.5 is even money, plus 100. That's relatively appealing. Brazil to win the nil is slightly bigger, 21-20, plus 110. And that also brings in Brazil on the handicap, minus 1.5 goals, which is a price of plus 105. So looking at all of those, Baz, Brazil haven't kept a clean sheet in the last two matches. Again, the Cameroon one was a bit of a weird one. Cameroon scored the 94th minute. They still, this team, regardless of how good they are going forward, we've said before, everything they do, the manager, it's built on their defence. They had an incredible defensive record coming into this. My favourite pick out of all of those is Brazil to win this to nil, a price of 21-20. They beat Serbia to nil, they beat Switzerland to nil. Croatia haven't really done a lot at all going forwards, and I think Brazil can hold them at arm's length, so I wanted to put a line through the possibility of Brazil going off and beating them 3 or 4-0, which they absolutely could do. So the under's definitely in play, the under 2.5 are even money. But like I say, the possibility of a 3-0 is there. We saw that with England winning 3-0 the other day.
And there was another game that came down on the same side as well. There was a 3-0 scoreline. Brazil to win to nil, Baz, is going to be my official play, 21-20. Everything based around that Brazil 2-0 Croatia final score. Baz, what you got?
Yeah, so I think the big guy at the back, it was Gvardiol. Is that the
one? Yeah.
Bobby Leipzig.
Okay.
Absolutely took him the other day in a double with Lovren, the two centre-halves, on the pass market. So that's one I had sort of talked about. It sort of cropped to me close to the kickoff. So it was one we didn't mention on the podcast. But Gvardiol and Lovren always high up on the pass stats. And I think I took them both over 75. And they come in comfortably. I think they're both over 80 passes on the day, coming about 170 between them or something. But I just mentioned Gvardiol sort of brought that back. I struggle to know what to make of Croatia, really, other than the good win against Canada 4-1. They've looked pretty uninspiring. They failed to score against Belgium, failed to score against Morocco. To be fair, a lot of teams have failed to score against Morocco. And they scraped past Japan on penalties in a pretty dour affair, wasn't it? It was dull. We commented on Twitter at the time how boring that was. I'm not excited by Croatia at all. And so then it's what can Brazil do? Biggest test so far for Brazil. You would think still, you know, get to this stage, things do get harder. But I just feel, I don't know, I feel Brazil have got a bit of an aura around them at the moment. It's sort of building and building. But then I think that's just every World Cup, isn't it? Brazil always have that bit of an aura around them. It's World Cup time. People get a little bit excited about the blue and yellow of Brazil. I did think the first half against South Korea was really enjoyable. It was good to see them at full flow. Some really entertaining stuff. Appreciate it wasn't the best of opponents, and South Korea's approach to the game, that first half was absolutely abysmal, wasn't it? I feel... I'm on Argentina to win the tournament, and I'm conflicted all the time because I do strongly fancy Brazil as well. It's really hard to know. I feel there's a bit of a story brewing around this Brazil team, and that's around the whole Pelé illness. He's obviously very, very poorly, and there's a sense building that they're almost playing for Pelé now, aren't they? The flags are coming out every time in support of him. I'm not writing him off because I've no idea how ill he is, but it's just one of them things. Sometimes, you know, in big events, there's often a story around the winner, isn't there? And you think, picked up on that. And it's one way you could see, you know, worst comes to worst with Pelé, and then Brazil going and winning it for him. Just something I'd noticed, just thinking, you could almost see it. As I say, sometimes stories around sort of major winners, or I think back to the Grand National, there's always a story when after the event, and you think, I should have had that. Going off script here a bit, but Grand National last time, sitting on the Friday watching the racing, who was it? It was a female jockey who won.
It was Rachel Blackmore, yeah.
Rachel Blackmore, was it? Anyway, whoever it was, she was on the telly on the Friday, finished the race, said, "Oh, I'm announcing my retirement. Grand National's my last race tomorrow." And I turned to Helen and I went, "There's your story for the Grand National tomorrow. Rachel Blackmore retires. Last race. She's going to be the first woman to win it or whatever. Oh, she'll win it in her last race." And sure enough, she went and won it at a decent price as well. Did I back it? Did I shite? But you know those things, honestly, big events, sometimes there's a story around it, and that Pelé thing could turn out to be a big story. And Brazil winning it for him. Just something I'd noticed. I mean, going back to the picks, I refer back to my wall chart. I'd always had Croatia v Brazil in the quarter final, and I'd always had Brazil going through. So I'm sticking to that. But they're short. 4-11 is very short. So how do we approach it? So looking at similar things to you, handicap market to win by 2 or more, 11-10 plus 110. And I've sort of had success in the Brazil game so far. Last game I went with the Brazil goals. I backed over 2.5, over 3.5, over 4.5, which didn't come in, but landing the 2.5 and the 3.5 got us a good profit. And the earlier games, we'd looked at the handicaps, 1.5 goals, came in against, where are we? I'm trying to look back at their fixtures now. So yeah, I think I had the handicap in the Serbia game, which came in. Switzerland game, it didn't come off, and then Cameroon, I don't think got involved hugely. Pick 6-4 for Brazil to score 3 or more. I think it's a decent price. Like, it's slightly better than that, the handicap at 11-10. So I'll take the 6-4 for Brazil to get 2.5 goals. I also had a little look at a daft bet builder.
Build your own bet, Malcolm. Get the cones out. High vis on. Construction zone. Barry is fucking constructing stuff. Go on, Baz. Knock it up.
We're building. Brazil to win both halves.
Yeah.
Richarlison anytime.
Yeah.
And Thiago Silva over 72 passes. I priced that up at around 8-1. Just for a little bit of interest. To hopefully get that goal in the first half. Richarlison gets a first half goal and then you're looking for Brazil to win the second half and counting up every Silva pass, which always makes it exciting. That pass bet the other day on Croatia makes the game really interesting. Like, you're just looking at it completely differently, you know?
You're right.
You're really enjoying those little boring back passes along the back of the defence. And, you know, if Brazil get 2-3-0 up, there'll be a lot of that, just trying to knock it around, killing a bit of time. So 72 passes. Silva was actually one, I'd looked at him in the pass market. 3 games started, 79, 85, 87. Or his pass attempts. The market set 77 and over, 5-6. Tougher opponent, get that, but I can still see Brazil being fairly comfortable in this game, and over 77 was one that caught my eye. It's always the defenders, isn't it, in these strong teams.
I don't think they are tougher opponents, but I think they're very, very similar level to Serbia, Switzerland and South Korea.
So, if you're interested in a pass bet, get on Thiago Silva, over 77 passes, and spend all game trying to count it up or find an app which counts them up for you. I've got an app which is really good at counting up players' passes, so you don't have to stand there with a little tally chart or anything. You can just...
Our local book, Baz, where it counts them up for you. The one night I played after Ty had been on, and I played Estupinan and Luke Shaw and somebody else. They were counting them up live on one of our locals, the chip that I can't see on here, but I can tell you later on. So, yeah, you can keep that, keep up to date with that in play live on one of the books.
Good stuff. So, yes, I've got Brazil 2.5 goals, 6-4. I'll take Silva passes over 77 at 5-6. And build a bet. Brazil both halves, Richarlison anytime, Silva over 72 passes. Bam. Let's go.
Okay, well, there's a lot to unpack there, Baz. Comprehensive. Bit of hashtag DGens only in the passing markets. Narrative, they love a narrative on the Sports Gambling Podcast. Narrative bets are one of these things. They always bang on about revenge games is what we get a lot of in MLB. Noah and Dinnell. So just because a player's played for another team, that means he's going to win because he'll be trying harder again. So we get that every night. It's a revenge spot. It's a Gerrit Cole revenge spot. It's a Max Scherzer revenge spot. So I never hold any sway with that. Speaking of Munaf, good news travels fast, Baz. I just had a DM off Munaf about 90 seconds ago saying, are you wearing a robe live on the show? So I don't know where he's... Yeah. And I said, hell yes. And the next word he's put is arrogant. That's not fucking that, is it? It's a bit strong.
I'd just say comfortable.
Comfortable, yes. Comfortable, though, right? I'm dripping comfort here. I wouldn't have thought it was arrogant. I mean, I said, just don't take it off. But I have got my Jimmy Jams on underneath, so not a problem there. Right then, next game, game two. Is 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. Eastern time kickoff between the Netherlands and Argentina. The Netherlands are in 90 minutes, 13-5 plus 260. The draw's at 21-10 plus 210. Argentina are 6-5 plus 120. To qualify, the Dutch are 13-10 plus 130, and the Argentinians are 11-18 a price of -164. Do you want to lead us off, Baz, or do you want a little rest after that huge, big Grand National base run?
No, I'm ready to go. I'm ready.
Go on, then.
There's no narrative here. This might be a little bit more boring, to be honest with you. Yeah, I think Netherlands looked fairly underwhelming, didn't they? Certainly in the group stage. They did have one of the easiest groups, in my opinion. I said at the very start on our first episode, when you draw Qatar as your number one seed in your group,
yep,
just because they're hosts, then you know you're going to get an easy group. So, as I say, Senegal, Qatar, Ecuador in the group. Scraped a really late win against Senegal. Very, very lucky with that, I thought. Senegal, very unlucky not to come away with something. They were very underwhelming in a draw against Ecuador, where they only created two chances against Ecuador with an XG of 0.1 in that game. They did 2-0 against Qatar, but I'd say they cruised past Qatar. Really. They went 2-0 up, and then they just kept them at arm's length all game, didn't they? They had no interest in getting a third, but Qatar never, ever laid a glove on them. I think we did look a bit better against the USA, but I also thought they looked a little bit vulnerable at the back at times against the USA. So 3-1 win there. Argentina, they lost to Saudi Arabia 2-1 before back-to-back wins, 2-0 against Mexico and Poland. I think they looked fairly comfortable in both games, and I said after that it felt as if Argentina were growing and growing into the tournament. They only beat Australia 2-1, which on paper doesn't look great. But in reality, I watched the game, and I don't think the result was ever really in doubt until the very last few minutes. Australia pulls it back to 2-1, and then we had 3 or 4 minutes where there was a little bit of sort of jeopardy there, wasn't there? But it was very similar to what I said about Holland against Qatar. You get 2-0 in front, and Argentina just seemed to be quite happy with that. So the 2-1 scoreline doesn't look great, but I think Argentina did keep them at arm's length and were fairly comfortable in a 2-1 win, to be fair. It's obviously the toughest test yet for both teams, as you'd expect at this stage in the tournament. We're into the quarterfinals now, so things are always going to be getting harder. But I am taking Argentina in this one. I mean, I've got them to win the tournament. We talked about it again last night. I've still got them going through here. They're 6-5. In 90 minutes, which I think is a decent bet. But I'm going back, same way I went with the England game, which we haven't talked about yet, because that's on tomorrow's show, which we have talked about.
Yes, we got him. We've tripped him up, people. Yes, we did it.
You've got me. I can't talk about the England bet. See, Malcolm, I'm already giving away.
Yes, nearly buzz. 32 minutes you went without fucking that up.
Do you see where the confusion come about now?
Nope.
Anyway,
nope.
I may or may not have taken a similar bet in tomorrow's show for England. The pick here is Argentina to score two or more. So they've done that in the last three games. As I say, Netherlands will put up a bit more of a test, but I don't think Netherlands are that strong at the back. I think there'll be opportunities. Argentina 6-4. For two or more goals, +150. Let's have a little sprinkle on the over 2.5 Argentina goals at 5 as well. And on the anytime scorer market, I like Alvarez again. Just want to have a look at the lineup, see if he's starting. Didn't start the first couple of games, but since starting the last two, he scored two in two games against Poland and Australia. So 3-1 for Alvarez anytime, I think could be a good shout. If you know, assuming he starts that game, so that's my two picks. Argentina 2 or more, a little bit on 2.5 or more, over 2.5, and Alvarez anytime.
Okay, so the Netherlands for me haven't impressed me at all, really. Cagey game against Senegal, second best against Ecuador. The Qatar game was irrelevant. They got away with it against the USA, second best, I think, for long periods of time. Pulisic missed the sitter at 0-0. And then the Dutch scored, USA dominated again, then the Dutch scored breakaway goals. XG was in favour of the USA at the end of that game. They're still rolling out Davy Klaassen to start, Daley Blind's playing. They're just not good enough, I don't think. Van Dijk's playing well, the keeper is doing okay for them. Argentina, that seems like ages ago they lost to Saudi Arabia. Seems like it was about a month back. Didn't take them long to recover. It took them about an hour against Mexico to recover. And since then, like you said, Baz, they've been going through the gears and looked in control. We did give them out. Once they'd lost that game, we gave them out around about 10 to 1. I said, if you liked Argentina, don't let what's happened put you off. You can go back in and back them at 10 to 1, and you're getting 10 to 1 about what was a 4 to 1 shot pre-tournament, or a 5, 6 to 1 shot. So they looked complete control against Australia till that huge deflection. And then Australia pushed, which is fair enough. They're going out of the World Cup. Messi's in really good form. Alvarez looks good. We've pretty much handicapped this identically, Baz. The defence isn't hugely reliable. Otamendi's prone to a mistake, getting on a bit. My starting point here, Baz, was Argentina 3, Netherlands 1, which is a correct score. Is at a price of 22 to 1. It brings in the over 2.5 goals at 11 to 8, plus 137. Brings in both teams to score. At an even money price, plus 100. Argentina to win in both teams to score was of interest to me at 9-2, plus 450. But my two picks, Baz, are Lock is going to be Argentina to win in 90 minutes. Kept this really simple. Didn't have to dig into a load of markets. Argentina are a better team. I think quite a considerably better team. I think if you play this game 10 times, Argentina would win 7 or 8. So plus money, 6-5, plus 120. And my dog, Baz, is Argentina team total over 2.5 at 5-1. So I picked the exact same bet as you, Baz. It's a team ride. Does that fill you full of confidence or fear?
No, I'm good with that. As I say, I do like these where you can sort of ladder them up a bit. If Argentina get those two early on and we're cheering on the third, I think you can even push it, you know, if you want to get more ambitious, chuck the fourth in. 14s, I think it is, for
nice
3.5. I think we both think Netherlands might be a step too far here. I like what you've got there.
Like I said, I wanted to eliminate like the clean sheets, and I do think the Dutch might get a goal. Memphis Depay looked okay. They scored some good goals against USA. A, they scored at the right times, which sounds like a daft thing to say, as if there's a bad time to score. But they did score goals. Well, they executed, when they got the break, the first two goals were really, really good. Pretty much identical, actually. Good goals, good finishes. Depay looks like he can get a goal. And like I say, Argentina they kept two clean sheets out the four games, but they did look vulnerable. Poland missed a penalty. So really, that should have been only the one clean sheet against Mexico. I wanted to eliminate most of that. And Argentina team total, 5-1 just looked like a big price. So we've got the safety net of Argentina winning in 90 minutes at plus money. So you're not going to be juiced out if you take both of those, Baz. So yeah, I'm happy with that. I'm looking forward to these games. This is obviously this game, Baz, is the one we've got a lot riding on in terms of our £1 million bets as well, because I got Netherlands to go out in the quarterfinals as one of my main punts, and you had Argentina to make the semifinals. So they're going to be offsetting, really. They're going to offset each other in terms of winnings. I know we're trying to outdo each other on that one. But both would be money in the bank. And this is really precisely how we handicap this section of the draw. Like you said, Netherlands had an easy route through winning the group and then playing a shit team out of England's group. And Argentina winning the group and getting a relatively simple task as well against the Group A team. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I think we got to the end again, Baz. One small time lapse for you, Baz. Was that okay?
That was all right. I have got one other thing to bring up. Something.
Yeah, go on then.
Breaking news. In the household here, nothing that would particularly excite anyone else. But get this, you've managed a football team before, haven't you?
Yes.
So I manage the girls under 13s team. We play on Sundays, usually Sunday mornings, 10:30 kickoffs is pretty much the standard. Occasionally we'll get a 12 o'clock kickoff on a Sunday if it's scrapping for pitches. And you're familiar, you normally get an email, don't you, if there's any changes. So the email comes through from the league. So this is your fixture, and if anything changes, you'll get an email with an update. Literally 2 minutes ago, there's a fixture change for Sunday the 18th of December.
Yep.
So Mansfield Town playing Bingham Town away. So we're away from home up in Mansfield, which is a bit of a hike for us, 45-minute drive. 10:30 kickoff, changed to a 2 o'clock kickoff on the 18th of December. World Cup final kicks off at 3 o'clock. Who's putting a kids football game in at 2 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon when the World Cup final's on? I literally just got that five minutes ago and I'm sitting here just thinking...
Yeah, that's bollocks, isn't it?
I mean, if England play, they're not going to want to be interested. They're not asked anyway. Even if England aren't there, I want to watch the World Cup final.
Can you not contact their bloke directly and get that switch?
I've got his number, his email. I'm going to say, have you realised what you're doing here? Because surely he's the same. If you've got any interest in football, I've never known our league have a 2 o'clock kickoff. It's always 10:30 or 12 o'clock.
Yeah, very late as we get at 1 p.m. But again, it's pitch availability.
To be honest, off the top of my head, I didn't know what time the World Cup started. So I just had a quick little search there at 3 o'clock. So
they might not have even given that a second thought.
Our game would have finished at 3:30, 45-minute journey back. I'll have missed the whole bloody game. I'll be furious. I'll be kicking off about that.
Like most things in life, Baz, you probably know me. I'm a great believer in getting forgiveness over permission. I'd rather just do something and get someone to forgive me for it rather than ask first. So that's what I would be doing with you. I'd be finding another pitch. If you have to book an Astro somewhere, pay 45 quid for an hour and get that kicked off at any other day or any other time, and then just let the league fine you 30 quid or play dumb or something like so. Yeah. Just don't even tell them is the thing to do.
Crazy. Yeah.
Crazy. Right, well, cheers, Baz. That was fun. Back-to-back shows in reverse order, all that kind of thing. I'm out working tomorrow. I'm out working Friday. I think I get to see... I should be able to get to see both games, actually. I've got a gap. I've got to set up before 7 o'clock, but don't start till 9 o'clock, which I would normally moan about, having to sit around and wait for 2 hours. But that's the exact time that Netherlands-Argentina kicks off. So I'll get the casino set up and then can sit in the pub for 2 hours. Watch the game before I start work at 9 p.m. So for once, that's fallen my way. Looking forward to watching all the games. I hope you are too. And I like these bets, Baz. I think we've unpacked this pretty well. So any final thoughts before we let the people go?
No, that's all from me.
Good. Go and have a banana, Baz, and you can report back on Saturday or Sunday night. When we come to look at the semi-finals, how that works out for you. Usual places like rate, review, 5 stars, thumbs up, get in the Discord channel, all of that. Good luck with your bets. Enjoy the football. Looking forward to it. Doesn't happen very often, once every 4 years. In the meantime, we will see you down the road. Cheers.